You're listening to Jai Long, and this is Make Your Break. Today, I have an episode repurposed from the Metamorphosis podcast, and it's with my favorite photographer, India Earle, and she dives into burnout, rest, and how she deals with all of that as she is at the top of the game, doing really incredible things as the photographer and educator that she is. If you haven't listened to this episode yet, I wanted to repurpose it here because honestly, I don't think burnout is talked about enough. And if you're an entrepreneur like I am, man, sometimes it can be really hard having all the spinning plates, trying to do all the things, all the projects, optimize everything, everything else, listening to all the podcasts, doing all the education. You're out there hustling. I get it. And sometimes we need to stop and we need to give ourselves some rest. We need to be like a slingshot, as India says in this episode, where you pull back and you give yourself some time, and then you can shoot so much further forward. So I think this is going to be a really beneficial episode for you to listen to if you haven't done so yet. And it could be a game changer. Another thing, I am launching a brand new course called The Metamorphosis. It is all about mindset, content creation, photography, mental health, all that kind of stuff, all mashed together. Essentially, it's like the art of like what it is that we do. And I'm really excited about it, but we're launching it with an event on the 29th of May, which is going to be really cool. So you can buy yourself a ticket, and it's going to be a live shoot from Utah, from location, with some guest speakers and a whole bunch of things. And I really do believe you need to go over and get yourself a ticket because you've never seen anything like this. A lot of the times people are just sending you, you know, it's like a webinar, it's a Zoom call, it is a pre-recorded video or something, but this is all going to be live on location, on set. And it's going to be a live shoot with Kara Mia and myself. And we're going to go through our cameras and our gear and what we do and storytelling and everything else in between. So, and we get to show you all what we've been working on from across the world these last few weeks as well. So if that's interesting to you, then head down below. There is a link. Click that and get yourself a ticket. But otherwise, don't forget, you can always hit me up on Instagram if you need any details or if you just want to say hello at jailong.co. Other than that, let's get into today's episode.
I'm Jai.
I'm Kara.
I'm India.
And this is the Metamorphosis podcast. That's a limited podcast where we talk about mindset, creativity, and content creation. And I'm really excited here to be joined with these lovely ladies.
Yes.
Yeah. We're so
just us laughing for 45 minutes.
Yes.
We have India Earle with us today, and we're just so excited.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I'm so honored. This is great.
Thank you for dropping in.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to have you here.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Tell us how you've been.
Such a general question. good, but no, I've been like so great lately. I feel like I've been going through kind of, metamorphosis for the last few years. And I feel like I'm finally at the part of the cycle where I'm like, coming out of like going into that cocoon and retreating and pulling back for such a long time and like just learning so much about myself and my gifts and the things that are like kind of working against me at times and learning to just reframe the way that I see myself completely. Because I think like with this work, we have to put so much of ourselves into it. Like even the idea of like personal branding, like that whole, like we hear that all the time when you go to workshops and stuff. And I've always just been like, I hate that. Like, I don't even like the idea of like branding myself and selling myself. But like, that's been kind of the nature of a lot of this industry. And now I feel like I've been able to just work through so many things that I felt like were holding me back and keeping me afraid of like showing up fully in my gifts. Because yeah, I don't know. I feel like we tell ourselves so many things that are just not true. And we compare ourselves to other people and we just like can easily get into this like weird hole. And I felt like I kind of got to a point where I was doing all the things that I thought I wanted to do and I was doing a good job at them. And I just kept doing them over and over because I was good at it. But I got to a point where I was like, there's something else that I'm like hungry for that like this isn't satiating. And so Sorry. Oh, interesting. And so, yeah, like this past year, I took a huge break, a huge pullback from everything that I'd been doing. I like just let go of everything that I felt like I needed to hold on to like control and make sure it was still going well. And I learned so many crazy, beautiful lessons this past year because of it. And yeah, I needed like that time to just like completely turn off and pull back and like hide away. I felt like I hid a lot. Like I remember like a few times last year, people would be like, oh, are you like still a photographer? Are you still shooting? And I'm like, yeah, I'm shooting a lot because I shot a ton. But I just was like, I need to pull back from like everything online and like just do my thing and like create for my clients, create for me, and like just detach from everything else that I was doing. And that process of slowly detaching over and over and over last year, like kind of gave me a completely new blank slate to work from. And so now I feel like I've cleared off all the things that like were not in line with my gifts and like what I want to do with my life and the person that I want to be. And now I have that blank slate to be like, all right, what are we going to put on this? Like, I'm just excited. And so I just feel, yeah, just really happy with life and like happy with all the things and like all the little decisions that I'm making to like put myself more in alignment with like what I want and the person that I want to be. That was like literally the most long-winded answer ever, but yeah.
No, you're just glowing though. You seem happier. I don't know. Even since I last saw you, you feel, I don't know. It's really beautiful to watch. I feel like this whole course and the evolution of just change and creativity, I feel like you've done so much of that. Like you've been in that crazy hustle phase for forever. And then taking this step back, you talked a lot about things that you've let go. What were some of those things you had to let go, like in order to like allow yourself to really feel free?
Yeah. And how hard was it letting go?
Yeah. I feel like actually the biggest lesson that I've learned in the past year is the lesson of surrender. Like that's always
we're talking about that.
Wait,
that
really?
Yes.
It's like I think that any time you can give yourself the gift of surrendering, that's when you're opening yourself up to like so much possibility and like being able to detach from ego or expectations that we impose on ourselves or that we think other people hold us to. And so I think one of the biggest things was learning to give myself permission slips. I had to let go of the idea that other people needed to validate me and validate my decisions. I'd never been a good decision maker. I never realized that I was like a super anxious person until like now that I'm like out of it. I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that's like what anxiety was. That was my whole brain.
I'm
like
okay.
Running my life. We're fine. It's like dog in the burning room. but yeah, I feel like I needed to learn to just like, I think the best way to describe it is defining what I value and doing it only for myself and like no other outcome.
Just you.
Just me. Because we are our greatest partners in life. Like, I think there's so many other amazing tools and ways to like experience this life, like with, you know, someone that you actually are in a relationship with, your friends, with your work. And so much of that like gives you so much value. But I think when you're constantly relying on everything else to give you value, it doesn't matter how successful you are, it will still feel empty. And I think that's where I got to, because I've like been successful in my career for a really long time, like since I was young. I got like bigger, I guess, when I was 19.
So young,
like super young.
Yeah.
And I don't think I was ready for it. I didn't do a lot of self-development at that point. I had like it was like a fetus.
Yeah.
To teach, and I was just trying to like play this character that I knew people wanted me to be. And I am a really good shapeshifter. It's one of my biggest gifts, but it's also one of the things that scares me about myself the most.
You can lose yourself.
Because you can lose yourself. And especially when you don't know how to self-validate and you rely on other people to validate you, it's like, who even are you? Because yeah, then you just end up playing all the characters and roles that other people want you to be. And I did a great job at that. I was able to accomplish what other people wanted me to accomplish, and I did it fast and I did it young, and I positioned myself like to be ready for as much opportunity as I could be, and I like said yes to everything, and I eventually got to the point where I was like, this is not what I want. Like,
wow.
Yeah, that was probably like 5 years ago. That was the first like breaking point I had, because it came from a place of like actual burnout and exhaustion, because I was shooting so much. My career blew up pretty quickly. And I, like, the year that it blew up was because I shot 70 weddings that year.
That is insane.
I don't, yeah, would not recommend. Nope. There was a day where I shot 2 weddings. I don't know why. Or I would do, like, triple headers. But, like, I shot so much and I pushed myself so much. And I did all the things that I knew would, like, get me closer to this idea of success. And then, obviously, got there. I was so busy. I was so burnt out, so exhausted. And, like, it wasn't really a choice at that point to pull back. It was, like, I had to.
Yeah.
And I think even that resting period, because I went through, like, a year of, like, pulling back and resting, but I was doing it out of a place of fear. Mm-hmm. And then when I came back, it didn't feel like I had really given myself what I needed.
Interesting. What did you hold back? Like, what did you feel like you needed that you didn't get?
Like, actual...
I think I was just, yeah, like, actual rest. I think I was beating myself up the whole time.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be working.
Yes. And I was like, oh, but now I'm like, I should be resting. And this is what rest looks like.
And
yeah, exactly. And so I was, again, even, like, in my resting phase, I was resting the way that I thought that I should. And I was functioning the way that I thought I should. And anyways, a few years have gone by. I, like, got back into my business after that. And it was going great. And then last year, I like, my business is doing so well. And again, it's like, I've been doing such a good job at what I do. And I felt this pressure to hold myself to that standard
all the time,
especially because in this industry, I don't know, I feel like I'm in, like, a weird position sometimes where I have a lot of imposter syndrome and just feeling like, why am I in this position? Like, I got, like, yes, I did get lucky. I did, like, attune myself for opportunity and being ready for those things. That way I could take them and make the most out of it. But still, I was like, I just don't know if I feel like I'm supposed to be the one in this position, like, holding this space for people. And I got to a point where I was just like, I actually need to rest, like, in a completely different way than I've ever seen.
Mm.
And so I had to just let go of control.
It's just so hard to do.
It's really hard to do. Yeah. I feel like with this industry, things move really fast and people become relevant and then they become irrelevant. And, like, with my education portion of my business specifically, like, that has been doing so well for years. And I've just been like, I need to, like, grind this out as long as I can for as long as it's relevant for, because eventually this will go away and, like, I'll beat myself up in the future for not, like, pushing myself harder while I, like, am in the position of life with, like, the freedoms that I have of, like, not having kids, not having things that are, like, completely tying me down, not having a lot of, like, things relying on me. Like, I do get the freedom to, like, design my life the way that I want. And I think that that's a lesson that keeps coming back to me too, is being like, you can choose, you can choose, you can design this, you can design this. And, like, having to really go inwards and separate, like, the expectations that I impose on myself that I'm, like, blaming other people for or blaming the industry for or whatever. But it's like, really, no one else has power over you or me. Like, no one is, like, making you do anything. This is completely up to me. And yeah, I feel like I just was in a place of being scared of even, like, doing well and also of not doing enough. And so that's why I kept going and going.
Wow.
But I had to have the realization that, like, that was scarcity mindset.
Mm.
And I had to really turn into myself and be like, okay, like, is this something that's temporary? Like, is this, like, success something that is just a relevant temporary thing? Or is it something that's deeper in me that, like, brought this out? And I had to do a lot of just digging in on who I was and honing in on my gifts. I think that's been the biggest thing that's, like, tipped the scales for me this past year, was realizing that, like, if I decide to quit photography, quit education, I become the most irrelevant person, I get canceled, doesn't matter, whatever it is. I, like, trust myself so much now, and I trust my gifts, and I'm so in tune with them that that's fine. I can get canceled. I can lose my business. Something crazy can happen that will, like, limit me and my ability to, like, do the business that I've been doing. And I can turn around and start a corndog stand or whatever, or whatever business, and also make it just as amazing and just as great, because I am so in tune with my gifts and I make sacrifices and decisions that keep me in line with my gifts. But I think so often we get so caught up in comparison without even realizing it. And like, we compare ourselves to these like ideals of like who we think we should be, not even like other people. Like, I feel like I'm so good at like limiting the opportunity for comparison, at least like online. Like,
yeah.
I only follow friends or people that I know. And even then, like, I, for myself, I just have to like mute most people on Instagram because I'm like, A, I'll sit there and doom scroll otherwise. And B, it's just too easy to like subconsciously download these rules into our heads about how things should be or how things should look. And so like going last year into that resting period of just pulling back, I felt so much guilt about it because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like resting again. Like, what is wrong with me? Like, I should have all the energy for this. I'm young. I like should have all the pieces to be able to do this, but it's just not working. And like, even with my education business, I was just finding so much resistance. Like, I have a bigger team than ever. We have more tools and resources and money and blah, 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 all of it to like pour into making things to sell or whatever. But like, it was harder than ever with the most resources available. And I was like, I was doing a better job at this when I was a one person team. Mm. And like, I don't know, I was just like, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Mm. And I had to finally give myself permission to just let go, pull back, go into that resting period, and give myself the permission to not even put like a time frame on it either. And so I tried to look at it to like take the guilt and everything out of the rest of looking at it like a slingshot where I'm like pulling back, pulling back, pulling back until you get to this point of stillness and like actually resting there for however long you need. So that way when you are ready, you'll know and you can just slingshot forward and like let it go and you'll have all the momentum that's like way better and way stronger than just constantly trying to chug along and push through out of a place of fear. Because now I feel like because I gave myself that rest out of a place of love, I actually got everything that I needed. And now I'm like ready to just like I'm so in tune with myself.
Come play again.
Yeah, I can like play again. And it feels good. And it's coming from a place of like deep curiosity and like hunger for just experience. And so, yeah, that makes sense.
No, it does. And I think it's so beautiful. This is something that even just within the context of an actual metamorphosis with a caterpillar, something that we were learning about it, right? I'm like learning all these random facts about it. But a caterpillar's whole thing is to eat, right? It's like hustling, it's eating, it's like going to expand its body size by 1,000 and it's eating 27,000 times its body weight over the course of its lifetime. And while it's doing that, it's shedding its whole skin 5 to 6 times. But if it's not nourished enough, if it's malnourished. So when I'm hearing you talk about fear, I'm thinking about that. If you're like approaching the chrysalis phase, the rest phase with fear, you can become a butterfly again, but you'll be exhausted and burned out. And actually butterflies that are in that, if they were malnourished as caterpillars, they just will never be able to lay eggs and the cycle ends there. This is kind of sad. But approaching it with love though, and actually like getting that nourishment and allowing yourself to rest, then, you know, the caterpillar lays the eggs again, and not the caterpillar, the butterfly, and the whole cycle repeats. And that's kind of what I'm seeing happen with you in real time, which is really, really interesting. Yeah.
Inspiring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually want to ask you a quick question on this. Like, I know forever, like whenever, especially high frequency, fast moving people have rest, they always feel guilty about it. And then they always like beat themselves up and then they like wish they could get out of it. But when you look back at your career, when you shot those 70 weddings, is there any times that you regret any of that? Because, you know, obviously back then you needed to show up for whatever reason. You had to hustle and you had to do that to get to where you are today. But with each phase that you went through, were they all really important for you to be right here in the exact phase that you are right now?
Yeah, I think this is like one of the biggest misconceptions about burnout, as if like we're supposed to avoid it.
Yeah,
I think it's okay to approach it and like allow it to happen because it is cyclical and like it does need to happen. And there's so many lessons and opportunities that come with exhausting yourself because you're learning your limitations and your boundaries and like just what works for you and what doesn't. And I think, I don't know, I think everyone gets burned out in different ways too. I think that's like another thing that goes into the comparison aspect is being like, oh, well, that person didn't get burnt out until like these things happened, like 70 weddings. Like, oh, yeah, well, I'm only shooting, like last year I shot, or the year before that, I only shot 9 weddings and I was burnt out. And I was like, I'm burnt out after 9. I used to do 70 and then I got burnt out. Like, you can even get so in your head about that. But I've always known, like, I feel like because I started my business pretty young, I started to like notice the patterns pretty quickly of like, this is something that just happens. And like, if I fight against it,
it's going to make it so much harder. And it will, I think whenever you're fighting against something, it's just pushing it off and until you can like surrender and let it happen. Mm. And so like when I do feel burnout creeping up, I'm like, perfect. Now I can switch gears. Mm. And it's like giving myself like, it's really just like giving yourself the gift of being like, okay, I'm burnt out. Time to like rethink and improve. And I think that's the only reason why my business is where it is. I change it literally every single year. I don't think I've ever ran my business the same from one year to the next. It's pretty radically different every single year because I do get burnt out in completely different ways each year than I thought I would. And I get burnt out of different things, but like it also allows me to find new ways to like get really lit up and get really excited. And I think for me, constantly like just being detached from the idea of doing things a certain way and letting myself and like challenging myself to do it differently over and over and over again, at least for me, that's the magic in my business and like the magnetism of it. Mm-hmm. And so I don't even think it's necessarily like the specific things that I say or do or like shoot or whatever it is. But I think because I like continually choose to like align my business with my life and my values and build it all around that and do whatever it takes to like make that happen, that's what creates magnetism in my business. I think that's why people get drawn to it. And like the way that I do things might not be the way that someone else does things. Obviously we like always hear that, but like I used to compare myself to so many people, especially the people that I would be like in relationships with. And last year I learned a ton about just like how to stop comparing myself to people that work completely differently. Like we all have different archetypes. And I like working with archetypes. I think it's like nice being able to separate people into different categories. And I think anytime you can put containers on things, it helps you understand yourself and others so much better. And for me, I had to like figure out what my archetype was and like stop comparing myself to other archetypes altogether. Like I'm a magician. There's a million different ways you can like do, you know, personality sorting and categorizing and stuff. But I like the one where it's magician, king, queen, a warrior, and a lover.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Send me the link. I want to know.
I know. Yeah, no, I'll teach you all about it. It's awesome. But I actually don't know what yours would be. I think yours would be the queen. I think yours is the warrior. Like if I was constantly like comparing myself to Jai, like that would just be so unfair. Like if he is the warrior archetype, because like the warriors, they like go and they like push and grind. And like, that is what fills them up, is like executing and doing things over and over and over again. And they always feel like they have so much energy bursting out of them. They don't even know where to point it. And they're just trying to point it in a good direction. And there is that you?
Yeah,
I'm like, it seems like you. You're like, and so like one time on like Instagram or in your email list, seeing how you can send a, how many emails do you send a week? Ever?
A lot.
I'm like, I die every day. I'm like lucky if I get one newsletter out a month. But like, it's not even fair to compare myself to you because you are worried. That is how your energy works. Whereas mine's the magician. Like I need to pull back. I need to like basically work with things that like I don't think exist and then bring them into reality and like alchemize things. And it's just a completely different format. And like, I need to show up in my gifts for the people that I'll serve that will resonate with my teaching style. And like, you need to do things your way for the people that resonate with like the warrior teaching style as well, if that makes sense.
Love that. So do you ever beat yourself up that you're not like somebody else, but do other people ever beat you up? As in like, you know, like a partner or a friend going like, you should be showing up like this.
If anyone ever tells me I should anything, I'm like, that's your problem. It's always me giving it to myself. Our own expectations that we impose.
Yeah, cool. I know for myself, like I've always, if you are the warrior and you're always showing up and hustling, everyone assumes that you're always going to be burnt out. So they'll always like reflect onto you of like, you should slow down. You're going to do this. Mm-hmm. And they don't realize that everyone just works very different.
Yeah, like slowing down for you, like the way I did, might like drive you insane. You're like, I don't know where to put all this.
Beautiful
though, because what it really comes down to is just personal alignment.
Yeah,
the more you're in tune with you, the more you know what you need, the more you honor it, the better you can show up, and that it will look different drastically from person to person. And it's so easier said than done, right? To just be like, oh, I'm just gonna take a break, or I'm just gonna do this, and everyone else is doing something else. It's harder to put your blinders on and just stay in the lane. Do you have any like
advice for that, actually. How you got to that point where you really could just step into where you are now, this really healthy space, and just not caring so much, not looking. Is it just the muting? Is it just kind of taking a break from all?
Yeah, I like the idea of just staying in your own lane.
Yeah.
And like doing you, like live and let live.
Yeah.
I feel like so much of that came, or like that lesson for me came from the validation thing that I was talking about,
mm-hmm.
of like needing other people's validation. And for me, it was like a lot of like self-work and like detoxing things from my life, of being like, I don't know like why that doesn't feel good, but it doesn't feel good. And I've been blaming myself forever for it. But like at some point, like, I don't know, I just really, really value the fact that like I'm the only person that will ever experience my life. Like we can have so many other important people in our lives, like especially with like relationships. I think for me at least, like just with the way I grew up and everything, I invested so much of my self-worth and my value in my partners and what they gave back to me. And like them seeing me is the way that I would see myself. Like I was always looking through my partner's lens at like if I was good, if I was this enough, that enough. And for me, like I had to completely like isolate myself from everything that I felt like was keeping me far away from myself. And so like last year, for example, I went through a breakup and it was really, really beautiful and really good. And it was like, yeah, a really good thing for both of us. And I went into this phase of being like actually alone for the first time in my life. And it took like that extreme, at least for me, to like completely detach all attachment. Yeah, like just get away from the attachments that I had to the way other people saw me. And I had to be like, how do I want to see myself? And I started working on the relationship that I had with myself, which I think not a lot of people talk about. We're always talking about relationships with others, relationships with work, relationships with children, whatever it is. But like the relationships that we have with ourselves, like that is like what I was saying, we are our greatest partners. Like we are the only ones that are going to go through this life the whole way through and like experience everything. And I also like to look at myself as like a collective of a community, because I've already been so many people leading up to this point. Like I have, yeah, metamorphosis did like so many times. Yeah. I've like gone into that. I don't know. I've like restarted myself over and over and over. And for a long time it was coming from that shapeshifter place of like fear.
Yeah.
Now, like, I look at that. I used to think that was such a downfall because I was like, I don't know who I am. Like, I can just shapeshift. Who even am I? Like, I don't feel like I'm even a person. I'm just like a reflection of everyone else around me and trying to like fulfill what they want me to be and being like the biggest people pleaser and martyr ever. But yeah, I think I had to just be like, all right, I've been so many different people and now I'm going to go through this like transformation one more time, but I'm going to do it solely for me. And if no one else sees it, like, that's okay. Like,
yeah,
this is for me. And yeah, like with going back to the collective, like I think looking at myself as a community of selves, because I know that like even the person that I am now, like a few years from now, I'm not going to be this person. And like, and maybe that's just like my archetype. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I think like I'm super hungry for growth and change. And so looking at myself right now as like a temporary being and being like, I'm going to be so many other versions of myself. And like, I want to make decisions now that like serve me in the future over and over and over again. And I think that for me helps me detach a lot from like this the expectations that we put on ourselves that might not be fair. So we get so honed in on like the right here and the right now and what's wrong and what's not going well enough. And now I'm like looking through a lens of nostalgia from like a future perspective, looking back at myself now. And I think it makes it so I can just be so much more graceful with myself.
Yeah, empathetic.
And so yeah, just like, yeah, way more empathetic. And I think like we just do not give ourselves enough grace in general. And like that was like a big part of like that metamorphosis for me too, is like learning to give grace and learning to forgive myself for like times where I did fall short. Because I think when you start going on like a journey of self-discovery, sorry, this like whole podcast is not even about business, but like
no, this is
plays such a huge part into it.
like, now I can, like, forgive myself for, like, all the times that I was, like, denying myself, denying my gifts, denying my own magic. Because, like, I had to go through that. I had to go through the burnout, through doing things wrong, doing things that were, like, completely out of alignment to be like, yeah, that's not me. Like, the process of elimination, I think, is one of, like, the strongest, best ways to figure out who you actually are. Mm. Have you ever read Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah, it's my favorite book.
Oh, yeah, it's yeah, like, you would love that.
Oh, thank
you.
It's so good.
Yeah, I'll read it. Okay.
Yeah, like, he talks so about that. Like, he's like, you have to go through this process of elimination to, like, really find yourself. And, like, another part in it that I love is he talks about, like, when he, Matthew McConaughey, got big, he was, like, yeah, just up and coming as an actor, and he had all these women that, like, he was sleeping with and dating, and, like, he could have anyone he wanted. But he was like, when I go to bed at night, like, no matter who I'm laying next to, I'm still going to bed by myself. Like, I'm with myself and I'm alone, and that is how it's going to be the rest of my life, regardless of who else is around me. And I think that was, like, one of the things that kicked off, like, my idea of how we relate to ourselves and, like, how we see ourselves, and, like, literally treating ourselves as well as we treat, like, our most prized relationship in this life, or person or partner or whatever it is. And I think, like, taking that into business, at least, it's made me just get out of my head a lot, because I'm like, at the end of the day, we are just, like, on a spinning rock and this is, like, a weird reality that we're living. And, like, how cool is it that, like, some of us get to be photographers and, like, get to just tell stories and meet people? And, like, I don't know, I feel like our jobs, or at least for me as a photographer, my job is to, like, fall in love with people and show that, and, like, just bring out their light, and, like, do whatever I can to, like, pull that out of people and empower that, and just, yeah, make it, yeah, just make it more beautiful. That's our jobs. Like, that is so amazing. And the fact that we, like, complain or think it's so hard, it's like, we have such awesome lives. Like, the fact that we get to do art, the fact that we get to network with all these people that we otherwise may not ever work with, the fact that we do get the ability to make decisions in our businesses and design our businesses around our lives, like, that is incredible and so, so privileged. And I think a lot of times we get so in our heads of, like, oh, like, this isn't working, that's not working, like, I'm trying, this is falling flat, like, I don't know what to do, I need to take a course, I need to go to a workshop, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, you can do all those things, but also, like, at the end of the day, you probably already know what you need to do.
Oh, yeah, we've always got the answer.
Yeah, you always have the answer. I'm sure you guys have seen this, like, for me, like, I've been teaching workshops now for, like,
a long time,
like, 9 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And I don't think I ever really say anything that's, like, revolutionary to anyone.
Yeah.
People come there to just give themselves a permission slip. And I'm like, you didn't need to come to a workshop to give yourself that. It's a tool to be able to do that, for sure. Sometimes that is what people need. But at the end of the day, like, the things that people walk away from workshops with is those permission slips, because, like, as teachers, that's what we're supposed to do, is being like, you can do that. You just have to let yourself. And I have to, like, apply that same logic to myself of being like, I can do this. I just have to let myself. And it requires, like, shedding and letting go of things and changing and, like, being detached at a certain point. Like, I do feel like I absolutely love my business. It pours so much into my life. But if I was, like, super attached to the way that it looked, felt, whatever, like, it would have stayed stagnant.
You'd be kind of for, like, forever.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Is Future India proud of yourself right now?
Oh, hell yeah.
That's so good. I actually really like the concept of, like looking ahead and then visualizing that person and then them looking back at you now. I definitely do a lot of that. And I think it's just, like, an interesting way of, like, becoming your own friend, but also fall in love with yourself, which I think is really important. And I actually notice, and you guys might notice this as well, but a lot of people are their biggest haters. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really interesting, because I've, like, never been my biggest hater. I'm always, like, I'm my biggest cheerleader. So I was like, Joe.
Wait, you always
have
been?
I am. Yeah, yeah.
So unrelatable. I'm like,
I know. It is unrelatable.
Like, I don't know.
But I think it was like my circumstances of growing up, there was, like, I felt like I didn't get that from outside.
So you had to get it.
So for me, it was like I had to generate it from the inside, and I got really good at going, like, okay, you're proud, like, be proud. And I was always confident in myself, like, just do the thing that you need to do. But I always notice whenever I'm working with people, they struggle to actually even say nice words about themselves. And they say lots of nasty words about themselves. So if you said, like, tell me 20 things you love about yourself, most people would just be stuck. And I say, tell me 20 things you can improve. And they will just tell you straight away, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think it's so interesting that we need to like change the way that we speak about ourselves and become our best friends, opposed to being that hater that's telling us that you should work harder, you should do more, you're not smart enough, but everything else that we put ourselves through.
Yeah.
Should be like that person.
Absolutely. And I think like, I also look through the lens of like a future self, future version of me, thinking about like what I would regret the most about right now.
Oh, totally.
And it would be like just taking everything
away. But sometimes, but sometimes like that can make you work hard, but then lead to burnout, like you said before, because I've done that where it's like you said, I'm young now, I should be hitting and I should be doing all these things. And future self was saying like, you got to hit it now. And I think that as well, but it comes from this scarce thing, thinking it's going to all run out.
Yeah. It's like the fear-based thinking.
Yeah. It's a fear-based. And I had a mentor when I was young and it drove me down the wrong way, but it was like when I was like 19 and it was a lot of work. And he said, make sure you work hard when the work's there, because it won't be there forever. And I just remember that. And I just worked so hard for so many years. And it was like only like a few years ago, I was like, hey, wait, the work's always here.
Yeah.
You know, for those that are like willing to do it. And it's just a bad way to work, thinking it's always going to run out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Don't like that.
Would you tell us a little bit about how, with all of this transformation you've had in your personal life, it's reflecting in your art? Like just even in the stuff that you feel compelled to create or stuff that you want to create? Because maybe you've been in a series, like a period of rest, but have you had any like feelings about it or anything that you're feeling drawn towards?
Yeah, I felt like last year with that huge resting period, I shot a ton still. Like I shot more last year than I have in years, which was really great. And I like completely took away any expectation of ever sharing any of that, like, which... Yeah, I don't know if that was like a good idea or a bad idea, but it was good for me at the time to like simplify like everything that I was doing, simplifying all of like how I approach creativity, approach shooting with my clients and stuff. And I think now, like, I don't know, I think creativity has been like my focus for the year, because I feel like it's been the one thing I've neglected the very most year after year, because at least for me, when I'm super busy, like creativity is the first thing that like
disappears.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, that's not as much of a priority, because I can show up to a shoot. I can show up to a couple session or whatever, and I can make amazing photos every single time. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to put effort into it, but like, it doesn't mean that it's like sparking that much in me. And like, it doesn't mean I'm like that creative, but like when you're so busy, at least for me, like I'm not setting up shoots to like be creative and like experiment or like shoot with different gear that's unfamiliar or like exploring film or something like that. And so for me this year, like a big change that I decided to make was like limiting client work down to a minimum, which is like a huge privilege. Like, I'm really grateful I've, like, gotten my career to the point where I, like, am able to do this.
Yeah, so you can sack all your clients.
Yeah.
Yeah, the business is good.
Yeah, it's great. No, I usually just, like, when it comes to, like, inquiries and stuff, if I'm available, I'll say yes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I have, like, limitations of, like, how many things I take a month to, like, pace myself and everything. But, like, it didn't even matter who it was, what it was, I would just say yes. And, like, I loved doing that. But I think this year, like, I don't know. I've been trying to trade out the idea of creativity and like the word altogether, because I feel like it's just so loaded. There's so many expectations with it.
Yeah.
I don't really. Yeah. I have an aversion to it.
And I want to ask, what does it even mean to you now? Like, what is creativity mean?
I don't know. I don't like it right now. I feel like, yeah, there is like so much like pressure in creativity to like make something out of it and to like show something for it. So I've been trying to replace the word creativity with imagination.
Okay.
Because it's something that's familiar that we like all did as kids.
Yeah.
And like, you don't have to show anything for it. Like, it's imagination playing. Can just play and it can literally just live up here. And that's like it being self-fulfilled. And so I've been trying to think of like, how can I bring imagination into my work, into my photography, into my business? And for me, like, I've had to decide to like create a lot more space and time in my schedule this year. So that way I can do those creative shoots. Yeah. That way I can like just set things up for me to shoot that feels really fun. And that means like letting go of some client work temporarily, which is good. But I look at it as like a huge investment in myself for next year, because I know for me, like my business has grown the very fastest and like towards the most accurate direction that I want it to, when I am like shooting creative work for myself and like not for clients. I don't know why it is that way, but it just kind of is. And so I'm like, why would I not give myself that investment? Like, all the other years, I'm like grinding as an investment to like have this outcome. But I'm like, I think I'm going to take a completely different approach this year and just like think about the things that I imagine up and just making them just for the sake of making them. And I feel like just removing all pressure is like going to be the thing that makes me like creativity again and not be so averted to it. But yeah.
No, it's so exciting. So, you're in that reinvention discovery phase again.
Like, yeah.
And I can't wait to see what it becomes, not because it has to become anything, but yeah. I feel like that's the beauty of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Is that
surrender. That's just so funny that you mentioned that word, because we literally, that keeps coming up over
and over. We started saying it's a new buzzword because we've just been saying it to do with everything.
Yeah, but yeah. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like a post-COVID thing of maybe there was this mandated period of a break that we kind of all had, and then it was like weirdly overcompensating by working really hard and then resting again. I don't know, but I feel like right now I'm in this phase of like that yearning for something, that mm-hmm. hunger that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what it is. I just feel
letting
like...
letting go of the expectations of it.
Yeah, letting go of what I thought I should be, and letting go of what I thought my life should be, and all mm-hmm. those should be's, and all the answers we thought we were supposed to have, and surrendering to the fact that, like, maybe the answer is that there aren't answers, and that's probably the most beautiful thing, actually.
Yeah, because it's, like, about the process anyways.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. That's, like, that's the fun part. That's the magic. Having something to show for it is awesome. But even like when I do creative work, like the magic comes through being there and being present with it and like just being there to experience it. And I think like
not forcing it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
Good.
Yeah.
I like that you you seem like you're not going against yourself, which is really important. Like,
yeah.
That's what it feels like. Like from the outside perspective, when I look at the things that you do opposed to a lot of other people, I always think that you're like in the flow and you seem to be always floating downstream instead of swimming upstream all the time.
Yeah.
And I think it inspires me for sure. And I think it inspires a lot of people. Oh, people yeah. love to see when things just work for someone and they're not like trying to force something that doesn't exist.
Yeah. I think like there's an art of allowing.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit hard, I think, in business because I think like stepping back and allowing and like trusting that things will work out is like very feminine, almost not like with male female, but like it is a feminine energy, and business is pretty masculine for the most part. And so it's almost like going completely against like what everything tells you to do with like, I don't know. I just feel like you're always told like, do this, and then you'll get this. And that's just so masculine. Whereas like the feminine way is like being like, I know my gifts. I know my power. I'm going to trust that. I'm going to go with the flow and like, again, align myself for when opportunities come, I'll have all the skill set ready to go. So that way I can like make the most of anything.
Yeah. I really like
beautiful.
That.
Yeah.
Cool.
I feel inspired.
Is Future Kara proud of you right now?
Is Future Kara proud of me right now? She really wants to be.
She's struggling.
She's struggling. It's not okay. I don't know where she is.
She's like, what were you doing? Did you get it?
She's looking at him. She's like, I don't know. No, I hope so. I think so. I think that I do feel like there's a lot of unknowns right now, mm-hmm. and that is both inspiring as well as terrifying. And so I'm really? Trying to lean into that.
But that's what your future self is going to be the most nostalgic for. Because I think that's where I'm at right now, where I don't have a knowing of, like,
I don't know
what.
I don't even know what my five-year plan is.
Yeah. I've never had one. I don't know where I'm going to be in 2 months, but
that's good to know.
Yeah. But like, I feel like, I don't know, I look back at a time of my life when, again, I felt so detached and like I was just floating, and I was like, I feel like I'm just taking steps and I'm staying in place and I'm like just waiting for me to like take a step and like catch a direction and like have a way to go.
No, yeah.
But like it's felt like I've just been floating. Right. But like all the other times in my life that I have been in that position, like those are the times where I'm like the most nostalgic for that, because I felt like everything was a mess and like everything was falling apart. But like for things to fall apart, like it has to happen. Like the whole thing you guys are talking about, like you have to be able to fall apart and like have everything completely be scattered. Like I think back about like one of the times I'm most nostalgic for is when I was literally homeless, living out of my Honda Civic. I had like no support. I had just quit college and dropped out. And it was like the year that I shot 70 weddings, and I literally was sleeping in my Honda Civic with the seats flat, which they actually never went flat. It was horrible. And like, I just like, I would go shoot a wedding, go home that night, edit the entire thing until 4 a.m., be done with it, and then go the next day, shoot another wedding. And like, I was basically shooting for free at that. I mean, I was probably charging like $300 a wedding or something like that. I'm like, yeah, well, I've shot 70 weddings that year, made $10,000. Like, I'm so nostalgic for that time because it was such a mess and I felt so lost and I was like so panicky and just being like, I don't know what's gonna happen, because I just didn't know how good it was gonna get. And like, I think that's where you're at right now, where it's like, the universe is just like, it's okay.
Yeah, good.
You can relax. Like, it's just going to show you how good it can get over and over and over.
I hope so.
Yeah. It, in fact, was not getting good.
Yeah. It all went down after this interview.
My screen is like, here, a monster house.
The rest is in the popped up.
No, I... Thank you. And thank you. And I hope for that, right? I feel like it does feel chaotic. It feels messy. It's easy to just throw the word around, surrender, surrender. And I don't do well with that. I like to feel like I have a semblance of control over my life. So it has been absolutely bizarre and surreal to just kind of, admit that actually I don't know what's coming. But I am following my gut. And I feel like that's the best you can do. No, intuition is like, okay, I don't really know where this is leading, but I've decided to follow it. And I'll tell you, circle back in a month, and or some more like 6 months.
Yeah,
like,
oh, geez.
Like, I need longer than a month.
Yeah, yeah. That's fun. She's proactive.
I'll tell you that it's worse than it is right now. That's me in six. But that's the beauty of it all, actually, is that the brokenness, being able to let things go, being able to let things go in order to pick up the things that were meant for us all along.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what Metamorphosis is all about. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing you do that, and that's really inspiring.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys.
I want to just finish on one last little thing. So with the Metamorphosis, we talk about you can become a butterfly, and when that happens, like, we both come to the conclusion that you can't stay in that phase forever.
You're not meant to.
But you think that you can.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, we start losing ourselves and going like, oh, like, I'm not as successful as I was last year, or I'm not doing as much, or whatever it is. And then it sort of can like fizzle out, and then you end up going back to hustle mode and rest and everything else. But for you, I feel like you've been a butterfly so many times, but how does it look like when you're like fully in the flow and everything just seems to be working out, and then you just know when that ends and then you're ready for the sort of the next thing?
I know for me, I do the best, like, I have to make decisions out of a place of, like, being incredibly excited.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I have to, like, change all the time for me to be really happy. If I get, like, stuck in one thing, I get so bored. And I think boredom is what burns me out the quickest. I can do really great at certain things, but just because I'm good at it, like, doesn't mean that I want to keep doing it, or that it's actually like giving me that much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, again, like, being able to shapeshift is like a really interesting talent. Like, it is what like makes it so I can make, like, it's my gift to be able to make people really comfortable around me,
mm-hmm.
because I can like read them and pick up on all these little nuanced things that other people wouldn't. And I know how to like shapeshift myself and like change myself in order to make my clients super comfortable. It's like how I get the work and the emotions that I do in my photos. Same with like my coaching. Like, it's literally the whole way that I coach people. I coach people differently than other teachers. And I used to feel so bad about that, but I'm like, no, that's like my way of teaching. And I think I have to constantly design my life around what's lighting me up the most. Otherwise, I will end up getting bored, burnt out, and then I will stop being able to be generous with my energy. And for me, I think the thing that fulfills me the most is generosity. And I feel like you can do that in so many different ways. But for me to be able to do that, I have to have my cup full.
Mm.
Like, so that way I can be like not pouring from a half empty cup or whatever, but I want like to be filling up my own cups, that way it's spilling over and I just like can't wait to like find people to give that to, you know?
It's a beautiful metaphor.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The more you pour into yourself, the more you can show up. It's like, mm-hmm. I always think of the airplane. You can't put on another oxygen mask for somebody until you're wearing your own, you know? You got to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I want to like bring an air oxygen machine in there and like, everyone,
you get air. I love that. But you do have that abundance mindset that I think is really beautiful. Because it'd be easy to feel, I don't know. I see so many people with the scarcity mindset. So I think it's refreshing when you run into someone that, I don't know. Like even in the education space, I feel like you've been a front runner and a leader in that space for forever. But I don't feel like you're possessive. It's cool. I don't know. I don't really know if I have a question.
I just think it's cool.
So I'm really good at interviewing.
Nailed it. Well, I think we're done.
On that note.
No, I feel like you guys already taught me so much. Like, even just the questions you asked and the little things you said, it's already making me be like, oh, maybe I actually want to make this change now and this change and this change. I feel like the way that you guys are approaching, like, talking about creativity in general, like, is going to help open so many people's minds and just, like, again, give those permission slips of being like, this is a cycle and it will repeat because it has to repeat. Like, imagine if you only, like, humans, we love storytelling. Like, that's how we learn things. And imagine if you only had one story to tell, if you only had one character.
Please, that would be a boring friend to have, honey.
Yeah, right?
And comes with the same story.
There's so many people like that around, too.
Only hear the story
again. Like, again.
That's like, I mean, I think about, like, the guy where, like, his glory days were in high school, football. And, like, everyone that's a big example of them having one character arc, one story to tell, and then they get attached to that and they stop all progression.
Yeah.
It's like, no, like, with anything, you need cycles and you need repetition because every time you go through that, like, cocoon, that shedding, like, all of it, the whole process, you're going to get clearer and clearer on, like, who you are and the way that you work and the way that you can show up in this world and give and, like, leave something that's of substance and, like, being able to just, I mean, it's so freaking cheesy, but just, like, leaving things better than you found them and, like, leaving people feeling better than when you found them. And I don't know, I think it would just be so boring if you only had one story. So it's like, yes, let yourself have the stories, because also I think that's, like, where so much of our creativity is from, is, like, from the low points and the pain, and then, like, picking yourself up and, like, giving yourself the opportunity to be the hero in your own story. And, like, when you do get to that hero phase, like, allowing yourself to actually be proud of yourself. Like, I think one of the big things I had to learn this last year was, like, forgiving myself in the past, like, past versions of myself, for not allowing myself to, like, be okay with myself and love myself and, like, be proud of myself. Because, again, like, we're in such a fast-paced world that's, like, literally designed to disconnect us from ourselves, because it's, like, so many people benefit from that. But I think the closer that we get back to ourselves and coming home to ourselves, like, that's it. I think it just helps simplify all of life, because I think it creates such a deep sense of inner trust, so that way you can show up in any situation, even if it's scary, being like, I trust myself, I got this. Like, yes, I'm gonna fuck up. That is, like, part of it. Like, that's part of the cycle. But also, like, I've done this before and I can do it again. And it's just growing that confidence factor. And I think the more you can, like, hone in on your own confidence and, like, just be really proud of that. Like, I think confidence is, like, a whole other thing that we could talk about for a long time, because I went through a huge journey with that. But, like, that's going to be what carries you to, like, the most beautiful art that you could ever create. Whether that art is a photo, whether that's, like, literally just the relationship that you have with yourself, that's an art. Like, there's so many ways that you can allow creativity to come through and channel through you. But if you're, like, constantly blocking that from happening, you're going to stay stagnant, and that is just so boring. And I feel like even that filter of, like, decision-making through, like, is this boring or would this, like, add a little pizzazz to my, like, obituary someday? Like, yeah, we're going to do that. Totally. Like, why not? Like, we only get one life. We are on just a spinning rock. Like, be hungry for experience, because it's just going to, like, bring you closer and closer back to yourself and, like, yeah, your place in this world. So, yeah.
India Earl, photographer, educator, hot dog stand. What did you
say? Hot dog stand.
All that one thing.
Yeah, okay, sounds good. Yeah.
No, it's really beautifully said. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for being here. I think we should end there.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, this is so strong.
Thank you, guys.